Simeon under center. C.J. Anderson 7 yards behind him. Hand off right side. He pins it back. C.J. Anderson full head of steam to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. And finally, something to be happy about here for the Bronco fans as Denver puts together an excellent drive.
Welcome into the Locked On Broncos podcast. I'm your host of the show. My name is Adam Kinney. The Locked On Broncos podcast brought to you in part with the Locked On Podcast Network, the fastest growing sports audio network in the world. And there's a clip of C.J. Anderson scoring a touchdown just last week. He played through this injury and got the Broncos into the end zone on top of the Houston Texans, and then they never looked back. But he is going to be done for what seems like the season here, and the Broncos are going to be without their top running back weapon. I talked about in our last episode about how there might be a possibility of C.J. Anderson returning, but the Broncos do place him on the injured reserve and open up a roster spot for likely another player. Likely Juwan Thompson will take that spot. And there is still a very, very slight chance that the Broncos decide to bring back C.J. Anderson if his surgery went well and he recovers at a fast pace. But just with these knee injuries, it's not something that you can rush and just expect him. Not everyone could be Kyle Schwarber of the Chicago Cubs and be able to come back and play in game one of the World Series. So I don't know that this is going to happen for C.J. Anderson or not. They're going to keep the options open. I think 8 weeks is what has to go by before they can reactivate him with the designation to return from the injured reserve, but they're going to be without C.J. Anderson, and so therefore it's going to be the Devontae Booker show going forward, and you're going to expect to see him get the brunt of the carries, you know, just because of the lack of experience that Capri Bibbs has. I mean, he's the only other running back on the roster as it stands, so, you know, the Broncos are definitely going to have to look at their options, see if they want to bring in somebody else from the outside and still be able to salvage this running game, which is just ever so important for their team. But they do have a matchup this week against the San Diego Chargers, their second matchup in 3 weeks, and it seems a little bit longer than that because of the Thursday night football game seems so long ago. But they're going to have to go up against San Diego here in Denver, and if there's one team that's kind of had the Broncos number during this stretch of division dominance, it's been the Chargers. They've been able to kind of get under the Broncos skin a little bit and be able to compete and do things about this team, and the Chargers and the last 2 weeks beat the Broncos, and then they beat the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. So Chargers are playing really good football right now, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, even though they're at the bottom of the AFC West pecking order. We'll just give you an update on the AFC West as it stands right now. The Raiders are 5-2 on the year, tied with the Broncos for first place. Then come the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-2, and then the Chargers at the bottom at 3-4. But they're a very, very strong 3-4, a very deadly 3-4. They've scored the most points in the division by far, 206 points for the season, compared to the Broncos just 157. So, you know, they're scoring the football at a very, very high rate. They are giving up more points, obviously, because that's just the nature of how these things work. But their second matchup in 3 weeks, and the Broncos all-time own the series record 62-50-1 against the Chargers, including 38-17-1 at home in Denver. So they've definitely had the better of the Chargers, but it seems as of late the Chargers have been able to hang in there with the Broncos. We'll get you some behind the numbers things here, but first I want to get into the final practice report, as now we know kind of how people are going to be listed for this game. We'll start with the Broncos. Obviously, C.J. Anderson out with the knee injury, just undergoing surgery earlier in the week. James Ferentz returned to practice at a full capacity. He was non-injury related anyway, but that may be very, very important because he may be your starting center for the Broncos on Sunday. With Matt Paradis, didn't practice all week. He's questionable with a hip injury. I would almost say that James Ferentz absolutely might be your starting center for the Broncos, and Paradis has been the epitome of consistency for this team. You know, over the last 2 years, he's the most seasoned person on this offensive line, you know, in this system. Obviously, Russell Okung has more experience and is more of a veteran, but Paradis questionable with a hip injury. Also on the defensive side, I talked about in the last show, Brandon Marshall, he returned to practice on Friday at a limited capacity. He has a hamstring injury. He's listed as questionable, as along with Aqib Talib, who's also questionable with a lower back injury. I kind of tend to think that Talib might try and give it a go, but both of these guys are questionable, and so that could definitely open up things for this high-powered Chargers offense. Sylvester Williams comes back at a full capacity. He should be fine and good to go in the middle of the Broncos defense. Andy Janovitz was full as well with the hand injury. Demaryius Thomas comes back full with his hip injury. Then DeMarcus Ware practiced at a limited capacity all week. So we'll see if DeMarcus can make his long-awaited return against the Chargers here. Full participants that should be good to go, no problem. Shaq Barrett with an elbow injury. He was full participant all week. Quarterback Trevor Siemian with that shoulder injury. That doesn't seem to be bugging him much anymore. He was a full participant all week long. And then defensive end Billy Winn should be good to go with a back injury. Let's flip over to the Chargers side of thing. Jerry Atauchu, the outside linebacker, he's out with an ankle injury. Travis Benjamin's questionable, which could prove to be pretty big if Aqib Talib isn't at 100% or can't go in this one. He's questionable with a knee injury. Craig Mager, the cornerback, he's out with a concussion. Tyrell Williams, also questionable out of the Chargers receiving core with a knee injury. Jahleel Adaye is doubtful with a collarbone injury. He was a limited participant in practice for the Chargers all week long. Hunter Henry, who got that touchdown against the Broncos on that first drive of the game on Thursday Night Football, he's questionable with the concussion, which, you know, that's always hard to come back from. If you're not past a certain point in the concussion protocol, then you're probably not going to play. So it might just be up to Antonio Gates to all the tight end duties for the San Diego Chargers. Denzel Perryman, the linebacker, he's questionable with a shoulder injury. And then Brandon Flowers and Joshua Perry, cornerback and inside linebacker, they were full participants. They should be good to go on Sunday. So those are where the Chargers are nicked up, aside from their big injuries for the season to Keenan Allen, Danny Woodhead, and Monte Teo, just to name a few. But so the Chargers relatively healthy, but have some concerns in the receiving game. So we'll see how that plays a factor. Let's give you some matchups to watch out for. And first and foremost, I'm going to start with Melvin Gordon for the Chargers, because if Brandon Marshall isn't able to go, that's going to leave a big gap. I mean, they're already kind of exposed in the middle of their defense as it is right now. So if you take Brandon Marshall off the field, you know, how are the Broncos are going to counteract that? You're going to see a lot of Corey Nelson and Todd Davis playing together on Sunday if Marshall doesn't play. Or maybe you see TJ Ward coming in the box and play kind of a hybrid safety linebacker, and then you get more playing time for guys like Will Parks or Justin Simmons. So Broncos might have to be creative, but watch out for Melvin Gordon, and just keep an eye on that matchup. Then for the Broncos offensively, I'll go with the easy one here, which is just going to be Devontae Booker. You know, how much of a load is he going to have to take on? Is he going to get the ball 20 to 30 times? Are they going to sprinkle in Capri Bibbs here and there? You know, what's going to be the workload for Booker? Because, you know, he had a great game last week. He gets you 83 yards in his first career touchdown. But is he an every down back? He had some injury problems in Utah. In Utah, he was absolutely an every down back. But he did suffer some injury problems, which he's just coming back from and becoming healthy. And the Broncos can't afford to lose Devontae Booker to anything serious, because then they're going to have some serious question marks in the running game. So how are the Broncos going to overcome that and mix in Devontae Booker, and how are they going to spell him? Is it going to be Capri Bibbs? So that's pretty much the biggest thing I'm looking for the Broncos offensive side of things. And how's the offensive line going to function without their center in Matt Paradis? Is James Ferentz going to be able to control the count and just have the poise and presence that Paradis does each and every week, and the comfortability between him and Trevor Siemian? Is there going to be a factor between, you know, playing out of the shotgun? These are all things that are just unknowns when you have these backups come in, and you just don't know how things are going to play out. Let's go behind the numbers here in this matchup. Right now, we'll start with the turnover margin. Broncos 6th in the NFL. They're plus 5. Chargers are minus 3, which is in the bottom third of the league. They're 23rd in the NFL in that metric. So that's something that you might want to keep in mind. Offensively speaking, the Chargers definitely have the edge over the Broncos. Broncos 26th in net yards per game and in yards per play. Points per game, they rank 13th in the league. And I've been saying it all year long that mainly has to do with the touchdowns that they get from their high-scoring defense. But 24 points a game is 13th in the NFL. For the Chargers in those same categories, net yards per game, they're 13th in the league. Yards per play, they're 12th in the league, so just above average. And then points per game, they are second in the NFL with 29.4 points per game. Rushing yards per game, Broncos middle of the pack, 16th in the NFL to the Chargers' 23rd ranked rushing attack. But they have an electric back who certainly can hurt you at times in Melvin Gordon. Passing the football, it's kind of the complete opposite. Broncos 215.1 yards per game, 28th in the league, compared to the Chargers 275.4 yards per game. Phillip Rivers has already thrown for 2,000 yards on the season, and they're not even 8 games in. So, I mean, he's on pace to throw for 4,000 yards, 2,018 yards on the season for Rivers. So that's a big reason why they have a top 5 passing attack on
the year. Sacks allowed, this is the other one that I want to look at for both offenses. Broncos have allowed 17 sacks on the season with their kind of patchwork offensive line at times compared to the Chargers 11 times. So still, you know, quite a thing. And here's something that pops out to me for the Chargers. They fumbled the ball 14 times and lost 8 on the year, which is what leads into that turnover margin, because Rivers doesn't really turn over the football, throwing it very frequently. But it does show that their offense is prone to some fumbles, and the Broncos could certainly take advantage of that. They've lost 8 on the year, or they've had 8 fumbles, and they've only lost 4. Defensive metrics, this is where it flips to the other side. The Broncos are, you know, in the higher categories and everything. Net yards per game, they're 3rd in the league. Yards per play, 2nd in the league. Points per game, 6th in the league, with 16.7 points per game allowed. Rushing yards, still 116, which is 22nd in the NFL. And then their passing defense is still 1st in the league with 175 even yards per game. Compared to the Chargers, who are in the bottom half of every category except for rushing yards per game, with 24th in the NFL in net yards per game. Yards per play, they're 15th in the league. Points per game, 24th in the league. Rushing yards, 8th in the league. That's where that could kind of play a factor. But they're playing in a lot of shootouts, so that's kind of where that comes from. And then passing yards per game, they're 24th in the NFL. That's kind of how these teams stack up in their by the numbers. But I want to get into my keys to victory for the Broncos and a little bit of predictions. Once again, I'm just going to bang this drum until it's dead. They got to be able to run the football, and they're losing C.J. Anderson. I talked about how this team is going to be at its absolute best when they have the combination of C.J. Anderson. It's not just his workload. It's going to be mixing him and Devontae Booker, and Booker actually out-touched Anderson in that win against the Houston Texans, and that's when their running game looked at its absolute best, and then Trevor Siemian only has to throw the ball 25 times. You know, he has a high completion percentage. He gets them into the end zone with that one score to Demaryius Thomas. Everything worked out perfectly offensively. That's how you draw it up in this Gary Kubiak offense. So once again, it's going to be, how are you going to get a balanced running attack without sacrificing the body and health of your top rusher now, who ends up being Devontae Booker? And so, and this will kind of just give you my preview. I think that they're going to lean on Kupre Bibbs, even through his inexperience a little bit. I think Booker gets his first career 100-yard game on Sunday against the Chargers, but I think that Kupre Bibbs is going to get a couple carries, and I think he finds his way in the end zone. You see a little bit of what he was able to do against, or when he was up at CSU. Yeah, he has a nose for the goal line. I think that they should utilize him there, and kind of, he's going to be your bigger back, your smash back, so to speak, compared to the quick and agile speed that Booker can bring you. So, and maybe it's a matter of, you know, who protects the quarterback best, and that's the guy that they're going to keep on the field, you know, not knowing some questions there on the offensive line. Defensively for the Broncos, I think that they're once again just going to have to contain Phillip Rivers, and they did a good job in that Thursday night game if it weren't for that first touchdown. They held in the field goals, they're bend but don't break. This defense has been great all season long, and even Rivers didn't throw for that many yards. I think it was like 216 in that Thursday night football matchup. So once again, just, you know, let Rivers get what he's going to get, but don't let him beat you deep. And he doesn't really have the weapons to do that, especially Travis Benjamin doesn't play in this one. Go get to the quarterback and see if you can force him to make some mistakes. And I think the Broncos will get their revenge on the Chargers on Sunday, and they'll be back on top in the AFC West, keeping pace with the Oakland Raiders. I think the Broncos win this one 23-16 at Sports Authority Field at Mile High and improve their record to 6-2 on the season. That's going to do it here for us today on the Locked On Broncos podcast. This is our preview edition for Broncos and Chargers. Tweet me during the game at Adam Kinney Radio, at Locked On Broncos is the show account. Make sure you're following all of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now that the NBA season is upon us, we have 30 NBA team-specific podcasts. We have 32 NFL team-specific podcasts. So we are in full gear on the Locked On Podcast Network, including multiple fantasy shows and just league-wide shows as well on top of that. So find everything that you need on audioboom.com for the Chargers perspective. Tune into the Locked On Chargers podcast hosted by Derek Togerson, and he does a good job there, so make sure to tune into that. Thank you for liking us and subscribing on iTunes and audioboom.com. Until next time, this is the Locked On Broncos podcast.